بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. أما بعد, inshallah, this session we will discuss the recommended timings for dua, the recommended situations that a person, when he is in, the dua is more probable and more likely to be accepted, and also the factors that help a person's dua in being answered and also help them in not being answered. In other words, they're an impediment to the response of his dua. These four topics, inshallah, we will summarize. And then after Maghrib, we'll talk about the wisdom behind a delayed response. Why is it that sometimes our du'as are late in being responded to? And perhaps a little bit about the relationship of Qadr and dua. And then we're going to open the floor for an extended Q&A after Maghrib, inshallah. So this is the overall plan for the next two lectures. So for the first topic is the recommended timings for dua. And this is of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah has allowed certain timings to be more blessed than others. He has allowed certain times of the day and night, certain times of the months, certain times of the years, to be more likely that a dua is responded to. And this is beautiful. Why? Because it gives the person extended hope. It makes him even more enthusiastic during those times. Had all times been equal, then this would not have been achieved. But by allowing certain times to be more blessed, more holy, then the person's enthusiasm goes up. And his humility and khushu' of dua go up. So this is the beauty of the mercy of Allah, that He has allowed for these timings to exist that allow us to worship Allah more, that allow us to have more khushu' and more humility during dua. Likewise, there are certain factors, certain conditions when a person is in. The difference between the timing and the condition is obvious. The condition, for example, the traveler, it is not a timing. The timing, for example, the last of the night. So we're going to discuss the factors and the timings where one's dua is more likely to be responded to. The first timing, and the one in which, frankly, most of the ahadith have been narrated about, which shows you its importance, is the last third of the night. The last third of the night, this is where over 15-20 ahadith have been narrated about the blessings of the last third of the night. So many ahadith, the Prophet ﷺ described that this is the time where a dua has more likely to be accepted. And in fact, Allah Himself describes in the Quran, "Wabil ashari hum yastaghfirun." They used to seek forgiveness towards the late part of the night, the early dawn. They would seek forgiveness at this time. Allah describes the believers. And in one hadith, Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes down during the last third of the night to the skies of the heavens. And He cries out, "Who is there that is making dua to me so I can respond? Who is there that is asking me so I can give? Who is there that is seeking my forgiveness so that I can forgive?" Three separate questions, each one the same theme. Who is asking so I can respond? Who is making dua I can give? Who is seeking forgiveness I can then forgive him? The last third of the night is one of the most powerful times that dua will be accepted by Allah. And why will it not be when the person has to give up his sleep, has to give up his wife, has to give up the most precious things to him? Do wudu, take the sleep away from his eyes, and then stand up in salah, pray tahajjud, and then raise his hands up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No one in the whole world, maybe even his wife, doesn't know what he is doing. Pure sincerity, ikhlas. No one can see him. No one can see his deeds here. He is doing this only for the sake of Allah. Therefore, this is one of the times that is the most acceptable time for the dua to be asked by Allah. In one ayah of the Quran, when the children of Yusuf, all of you know the story of Yusuf, the children of Yusuf, when they acknowledge their mistake and what they did, the children of Yaqub, excuse me, they acknowledge their mistake and they seek forgiveness from Yaqub, but for trying to kill Yusuf and sending him to slavery, they say, "Oh, our father, ask forgiveness for us. Istaghfir lana dhunubana." So the father says, "Sawfa astaghfir." I will ask after a while. The scholars of tafsir said he wanted to ask during the last third of the night. They were in the daytime. He says, "I will ask, not right now." Why? Because he wanted his dua to be accepted. So he says, "I will ask during the last third of the night." This is some ulama of tafsir have said this. We can conclude this section by quoting Abu Bakr al-Tartushi, one of the famous scholars of the past. He said, "He is not a wise man who has a need to Allah, yet he sleeps away his need at night. He is not a wise man who needs his dua accepted, yet he sleeps at night, heedless of his dua." If you really want your dua to be accepted, you have to be up at night praying to Allah. This is the first timing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has told us that the dua will be accepted, or is more possible to be accepted. Another timing is when the adhan is being called. At the time, while the adhan is being given. This is a time, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, two du'as are never rejected or hardly rejected. The dua during the adhan, and the dua when the two armies meet. When you're facing an army, that time when the Muslim, obviously the sincerity at this point in time will be at an all time high. And you can imagine why. You're going to face the kafir army here, that time, and also when the adhan is being given, this is a time when the dua will not be rejected. Yet another time is between the adhan and iqamah. So the first one is while the adhan is being given, obviously you should respond to the muadhin while he says, and you can also make a dua at that time. The second is after the adhan, between the adhan and the iqamah. The Prophet ﷺ said that the dua between the adhan and iqamah is not refused. Therefore, offer your du'as at that time, between the adhan and the iqamah. Also, during the salah itself, there are many, many times during the salah when du'a has more probability to be accepted. Of them is as soon as the prayer starts, when you say Allahu Akbar, before saying Fatiha. Of them is when you stand up again after ruku'. Of them is in the sajda. Of them is before the taslim. And of them is after the salah. We're going to discuss these in more detail right now. Of the du'as that also has the greatest chance of being accepted is when a person is in sajda. The Prophet ﷺ said, أَقْرَبُ مَا يَكُونُ الْعَبْدُ مِنْ رَبِّهِ وَهُوَ السَّاجِدُ. The closest a person can come to his Lord is while he is in sajda. So he said, فَأَكْثِرُ فِيهِ مِنَ الدُّعَاءِ. Increase your du'a in your sajda. فَقَمِنٌ أَنْ يُسْتَجَابَ لَكُمْ. It is strongly, highly likely and possible that your du'a will be responded to. While you are in sajda, the Prophet ﷺ said, this is the closest that you can come to your Lord. Your du'as are accepted, therefore increase your du'as during this time. And therefore the scholars say that even if, yani if you don't speak Arabic, you can even make your du'a in another tongue besides Arabic. Because Allah speaks all languages, He can hear all languages. Some of the questions were asked, and I didn't answer them because we're going to talk about it now. Some people said, can I make du'a other than Arabic? Of course! Do you think Allah only understands Arabic? A'udhu billah. Allah understands all languages. Therefore you're allowed to make dua in any language. Obviously Arabic is the preferred language because it is a language of Islam. But if you don't speak Arabic, then you should make dua in your own mother tongue for whatever you want. Whether it be in sajda, whether it be any time. It is allowed to make dua in other than Arabic. Also of the times that dua is responded to is at the end of salah. At the end of salah. Ibn Mas'ud relates that once we were praying and the Prophet ﷺ and Abu Bakr and Umar were all there. When I sat down, the final tashahud before the taslim, I praised Allah and sent salams upon the Prophet ﷺ and then started making dua. The Prophet ﷺ, he was watching him. Ibn Mas'ud is in prayer. He is watching him and he says, ask and you shall be given. Ask and you shall be given. At this point in time. After the tashahud, before the taslim. This is another good time to make dua. Likewise, after the taslim as well. Once you say salam, after the taslim, the Prophet ﷺ said, O Mu'adh, wallahi inni la uhibbuk, I swear by Allah, I love you. فَلَا تَدَعَنَّ فِي دُبْرِ كُلِّ صَلَاةٍ. Do not forget to say at the end of every salah that, O Allah, أَعِنِّي عَلَى ذِكْرِكَ وَشُكْرِكَ وَحُسْنِ عِبَادَتِكَ. Basically, this dua, the Prophet ﷺ said, I love you to Mu'adh. So make this dua at this time. Therefore, showing you that this time is a time where one should make dua. Now realize the difference between congregational dua and private dua. Private dua, you should do it after the taslim. Not the congregational dua that is commonly practiced. This has no basis in the Quran and Sunnah. After the Imam says salam, it is allowed to make a private dua. Another time that dua is responded to, we have already quoted the hadith, is when the armies meet. The Prophet ﷺ said that a dua at this time is never rejected. Yet another timing of dua, which Allah responds to, is 1 hour on Friday. Every single Friday, there is an hour. Whatever dua you make, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will respond to it. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Friday has 12 hours to it. The day of Friday, not the night. The day of Friday has 12 hours to it. There is 1 hour during which if a Muslim asks Allah for anything, Allah will give it to him. In some narrations he said, find it during the last hour of Asr. In other words, between Asr and Maghrib, before sunset. And other narrations, other scholars say this is when the imam is giving the khutbah. Others say this is when the imam is sitting down between the two khutbahs. There's a lot of ikhtilaf, which hour is this? But basically on Friday, this is the time that you should make dua. Lots of dua, plenty of dua. Especially during these times that the scholars have discussed. Basically when the imam sits down and then he stands up, this short, you know, few minutes interlude. And also during the later part of the day before sunset. And this seems to be the stronger opinion. Before sunset, at this time one should increase one's dua. This is the time when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responds to the dua. Yet another timing that dua is responded to is after performing wudu, any wudu. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that no one amongst you makes wudu perfectly and then says, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh, except that all 8 doors of Jannah are open for him and he can enter Jannah through whichever door he pleases. So the fact that Jannah's doors are open, the scholars say this is a timing then that one should increase one's dua, because all of the doors of Jannah are open and ready to receive it. Yet another timing which dua is encouraged is before drinking the water of Zamzam, the blessed water of Zamzam. The Prophet ﷺ said, describing the blessings of Zamzam, he says, Zamzam is the food which has the most barakah, the most blessings. All of the blessings of food, the most blessed food is the food of Zamzam, or the drink of Zamzam. Therefore, to drink Zamzam water, the Prophet ﷺ encouraged it. And in one hadith, he said this is the difference between the Muslim and the Munafiq, to drink lots of water, Zamzam. And in one hadith, he said, مَاءُ زَمْزَمَ لِمَا شُرِبَ لَهُ, that the water of Zamzam is for the reason that he drank it. In other words, there is one dua that you make before Zamzam, Allah will give it to you. To rephrase the hadith in modern English, whatever you drink Zamzam for, you will be given it. The dua you make before drinking Zamzam, you will be given it. Therefore, many of the scholars of the past, before making drinking Zamzam, they would make yani lengthy dua, strong dua, to increase their knowledge, to make them pious. Ibn Abbas as well, he would make lengthy dua before drinking Zamzam. So the Zamzam water is a blessed water, and the niyyah that you drink it for, the dua that you drink it for, there is a strong possibility that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will respond to that dua. Yet another timing that is blessed is obviously the month of Ramadan, and especially Laylatul Qadr. Aisha radiallahu anha says, Ya Rasulullah, what dua should I make if I find Laylatul Qadr? And basically every night of the last 5 nights, what dua should I make? Showing you that it is preferable to make dua in these nights, it is strongly encouraged. So the Prophet ﷺ said, say, Allahumma innaka afuun tuhibbul afwa fa'afu anni, Allahumma innaka afuun tuhibbul afwa fa'afu anni, oh Allah, you are forgiving and love to forgive, so forgive me. Showing you that the days and the nights of Ramadan, especially the odd nights of the last 10 days, the Laylatul Qadr nights, these are nights which it is encouraged to make dua in. And like we said, we're talking about the etiquette of dua, it is good to make dua privately and at home as well. Many people, they have this concept that once they finish Tarawih, khalas, that's it, the rest of the night is theirs. No, this is a night you need to spend awake in dua, in sajda, in prayer, especially privately. This is more likely that your dua will be responded to versus the public dua. Why? Because the public dua, you don't have that much humility. You are not asking, the imam is asking for you. You're not asking what you want. When you're alone, you're asking what you want. Your iman goes up, your khushu' goes up, your humility goes up. This dua has more likely to be responded to than the dua in the masjid. Yet most of us, after we finish the prayer, khalas, we think we're done for the night. On the contrary, it is better not to pray in the masjid than pray entirely in your house, because it is nothing. But if you wish to pray in the masjid, fine, but don't forget your portion of the house as well, especially during the odd nights of the last 10 nights of Ramadan. Likewise, during all of the occasions of Hajj, yani the Kaaba, inside the Kaaba, the Prophet would make dua between Safa and Marwa, on Safa and on Marwa, okay, in the plains of Mina, in the plains of Arafat, especially Arafat, the 10 days of Dhul Hijjah, all of these times and occasions of Hajj. Hajj itself is a blessed time, especially when we are at Hajj, and especially during Arafah, the day of Arafah, if we are at Arafat. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, أَفْضَلُ الدُّعَاءِ دُعَاءُ يَوْمِ عَرَفَةِ, the best dua is the dua of Arafah day. And this in and of itself is enough of an incentive to go for Hajj. Even though there are thousands and thousands of incentives, but this one incentive is enough of an incentive to stand on the plain of Arafah. And anybody who's gone for Hajj knows this feeling. All around you, thousands, literally millions of people, all of them standing up, praying to Allah. This is a time, as the Prophet ﷺ said, that Allah himself comes down and he boasts to the angels, look at my servants, they have come from all parts of the globe. And literally they have come from all parts of the globe. They have come and they are dusty and tired and disheveled. They have a dirty appearance. Because in Hajj, this is what's going to happen. And they have only come because of a fear of me and a love of me. Bear witness that I have forgiven all of them and given them what they desire. The dua of Arafah is the best dua that can be made. Therefore, on this day obviously, the person should try his utmost to make every dua, every single dua, if he is in Arafah. And some ulama even said, even if he's not in Arafah, at least to get some blessings of it, still make dua on the 9th of Dhul Hijjah. But the ahadith apply to the ones in Arafat. These ahadith apply to the ones during Hajj. Likewise, one of the times which dua is accepted is when rain falls. It's something many of us don't know. The Prophet ﷺ said, two du'as are never returned. The dua when the adhan is being called and the dua when rain falls. The dua when rain falls. Because in one hadith he said that the rain is an indication of the mercy of Allah. Therefore Allah's mercy is coming down. So it is a time when the dua is responded to when rain falls. In one narration, the Prophet said, when rain was falling, he took his cloak and he put it out into the rain so it became wet. He was sitting in a shaded, sheltered area. He took his cloak and made it a little bit wet. The Sahaba said, why did you do this, Ya Rasulullah? He said that this rain basically, it has just come from the mercy of my Lord. It is close to the mercy of my Lord. So just to get some of the mercy. So the point is that when rain falls, in general this is a time of the mercy of Allah. So it is a time to make dua as well. And other situations and times which dua can be made, we have to summarize them to move on to the next topic, which is the conditions during which dua is answered. The first topic was the timings. Now we're going to talk about the conditions. What are those situations that a person is in, that when he is in them, the dua has more of a chance of being responded to? The single most situation which warrants the response of a dua is a person who is in severe circumstances. The one whose hope has been cut off. Literally, like a one drowning, a person drowning, or a person who's surrounded by an army. This is the time when it seems there is no hope, that he has the most hope for the dua being responded to. And this is a sign of Allah's power and Allah's rahmah. When it appears that there is no hope, this is the time when dua has the most hope of being responded to. So many ayat. أَمَّن يُجِيبُ الْمُضْطَرَّ إِذَا دَعَى. Who is there that responds to the call of the one in distress? The one in distress, the one who has no hope. And that is why we said even the kuffar, when they're riding in the oceans and their hope is cut off, when they pray to Allah to save them, Allah saves them back to the land. Because they show their ikhlas. And one of the scholars of the past said that I have no example to give of the hope that a person has from Allah, except like one who has been shipwrecked, and he is drowning, holding onto a plank in the middle of the ocean, crying out, oh Allah, save me, oh Allah, save me. In other words, this is the time when Allah really will save him. Hope beyond hope. There is no hope for him. But when he puts his hope in Allah, Allah will provide a way out for him. So this is the single most situation when your dua will be responded to, when it appears that you have no hope anywhere else. And one of the reasons for this is because that will give you ikhlas. How much more sincere can you be when you're literally drowning, if you like? There you will have a sincerity that you have never experienced in your life. Because you know this is your only way out. So when you show that sincerity, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then responds to that sincerity and saves you from that position and situation. And like we have quoted before, so many of the prophets, the Prophet Yunus is a primary example of this. All hope is cut off, lost in the depths and darknesses of the ocean. No one can hear or see him. No one even knows of his situation. Drowning in the stomach of a whale. وَنَادَى فِي الظُّلُمَاتِ أَلَّا إِلَّا إِلَّا أَنْتَ سُبْحَانَكَ إِنِّي كُنْتُ مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ. He calls out from the darkness. Allah Himself calls it darkness. The darkness of the world, the darkness of the depths of the ocean, the darkness of the night, the darkness of the storm. The depths of the darkness. He calls out, La ilaha illa ant. Subhanaka inni kuntu min al-zalimin. And this is a dua we will learn. It is a dua that is responded to. La ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu min al-zalimin. So when he made this dua, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responded to his dua and saved him from that situation. Yet another instance or another occasion that a person, when he is in, his dua is responded to, is when other people have wronged him. The mazloom. When other human beings have taken his right away from him. In this situation, his dua is responded to. The Prophet ﷺ said, fear the dua of the one who has been wronged, for it goes to the skies faster than lightning, faster than sparks of light. It is raised up faster than light itself is raised up. In another hadith he said that three people's dua are never rejected. The one who is fasting until he breaks his fast, the just ruler,
and the one who has been wronged. His dua, Allah raises it above the clouds, and the doors of the skies open up for it, and Allah Himself says, وَعِزَّتِي وَجَلَالِي لَأَنصُرَنَّكِ وَلَوْ بَعْدَ حِينَ. By my honor and glory, I will help you, even if it's after some time, even if after some period, but eventually I will respond to your plea. Once again, showing you that Allah is the Rabb, He cannot stand injustice. Allah cannot stand tyranny and dhulm. Whenever tyranny and injustice and oppression exists, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will of a surety respond to that dua. And by the way, as a side point here, nothing to do with the topic, or maybe it is to do, this is of the most clear indications that inshaAllah our brothers in Palestine and Kashmir, of a surety they will be answered. Because they have been oppressed worse than animals, dogs and cats. They have been oppressed the like of which it is not even imaginable. And instead of helping them, the non-Muslims, instead of even having some sympathy for them, their sympathies are towards the tyrants. They are helping the tyrants and the oppressors. And it is not possible that Allah can allow this dhulm to go on like this. They have broken all bounds of humanity, what they have done. Therefore, cheer up and have hope that after this, inshaAllah, the light at the end of the tunnel is very close. In the beginning, yani around, let's say like 5-10 years ago, I myself was very pessimistic. I was going to think that we're never going to get yani Palestine back for many years, it looks like. But in the events of the last year or two, the extreme oppression and injustice, I have changed my mind. Because it is not possible that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can allow such oppression to exist and not respond to it. And that is why a kafir society, if it is just, Allah might allow them to live in might. But when it becomes unjust, no matter how powerful it is, when it becomes tyrannical, that Allah destroys that kafir society. He might allow the kafir society to live because of justness. Allah loves justness. But Allah does not stand injustice. So the kafir society, when it becomes unjust and oppressive, then that kafir society must be destroyed. Never has there existed in human history, even, look at it yourself, never has an oppressive regime lasted for a long time. Maybe a generation at most. When Fir'aun is doing all of his tyrannies, Allah allows him. But when he starts killing those babies, when he gave the commandment to kill those babies, then his death came from one of those babies that he ordered to be killed, Musa alayhi salam. When you reach the limit of oppression, that is where the straw will break, as they say. So as a side point, inshallah, cheer up and have hope. The end of these countries is very close. These oppressive countries that are oppressing the Muslims, it cannot last for too long. Inshallah, obviously this doesn't mean we shouldn't do anything. Don't take this as this. Of course we do it. But inshallah, the end for these countries is very close. Because Allah does not allow this injustice to exist. Coming back to the topic, like we said, the dua of the one who has been wronged, it is responded to. Obviously, we're talking about the dua that is done against the one who wrongs him. Someone has yani, unjustly stolen your money, tricked you, embezzled you. Someone has done something against you, you make a dua against him, Allah will of a surety respond to that dua. This is Allah's justness, Allah's mercy. When the weak have no weapon, Allah becomes their weapon. You have nothing you can do to get your rights back, Allah will take your rights back on your behalf. Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, the famous companion, we always quoted him, that he's the one whose dua was accepted. Once he was appointed as a governor of one of the provinces, so some people complained unjustly about him. Realize he is one of the 10 Ashara Mubashara bil Jannah. He cannot be unjust. Some people didn't like him and they concocted lies against him. So they complained to Umar. So Umar then sent messengers to the masjids and said, tell me, what are your problems against Sa'd? Why do you not like him? Every masjid that the messengers went to, they found nothing but praise. Obviously, he's one of the 10 companions. But in one masjid, one man stood up, one of the evil people. He stood up. And he said, if you really want to know the truth, then know that Sa'd is not just in his rulings, nor does he distribute the money properly, nor is he easy with us. Pure lies. Pure lies. So when Sa'd heard this, he stood up and he said, oh Allah, if he is lying, then make him blind, give him a long life, and make matters difficult for him. The narrator of this hadith, the one who heard it from Sa'd, he said, I saw this same man after a long time. His eyelids were drooping out of his age. They were like sacks of flesh because of his age. and his eyesight, he had become blind. And he would harass the young girls on the streets, tease them, touch them on the streets, out of a sign of disrespect. I mean, this is the worst of society. All of society hates him. Whenever someone asked him, "What happened to you, oh so and so?" he would say, "The dua of Sa'd has been accepted against me. The dua of Sa'd has been accepted against me." In another instance, another of the Sahaba, Sa'id ibn Zayd, some of the evil people accused him of stealing their property. His neighbors basically, it was a woman, his neighbor, she said that Sa'id has built a wall unjustly, taking away some of my property as well. You know, in those days there were no GPS systems or whatever, there would basically be a wall demarcating the line, demarcating the properties. So she accused Sa'id of building the wall in her property, taking a significant portion of her property. Sa'id became angry at her and said, "Do you dare accuse me of stealing land when I heard the Prophet ﷺ say that he who steals land on the Day of Judgment, Allah will make that land darkness and put it on his shoulder, basically punish him by that very land?" She said, "No, you have stolen from me." And she took it to the court of law, the Qadi, and she accused Sa'id of stealing his land. And this was an unjust accusation. So Sa'id ibn Zayd said, "Oh Allah, if she is lying, then make her blind and make her grave in that land." He didn't even go to court, he just gave her the land. He said, "If you're going to stoop this low," then he just made a dua. "Oh Allah, if she's lying, make her blind and make her grave in that land. Make that the cause of her death." So she became blind. And one day she was in that garden that she had accused Sa'id of taking. It was obviously Sa'id's own garden, but she had taken it that way. And she was trying to find her way. She got lost in the garden and she was trying to find her way out, and she fell down into a well, and they could not take her out of the well, so that became her grave for her. Dua of the mazloom is a powerful weapon. That is why when the Prophet ﷺ sent Mu'adh ibn Jabal, he said, "Beware of the dua of the one whom you wrong, because nothing can come between it." In another hadith he said, even the fasiq, even if he's evil, his dua will be responded to, because his evil will be against him, but that dua will be against you. Even if a person is evil, his dua, if he has been wronged, will be accepted by Allah. And this once again shows you who Allah is. Allah is the all just, almighty, all powerful. He will not allow oppression and injustice. Like the other hadith says that I quoted, Allah swears, "By my honor and glory, I will help you, even if it is after some time." So those people who are being oppressed in the land, have hope, inshaAllah. Allah will of a surety respond to their dua. Another person whose dua is accepted is the traveler. The traveler. The Prophet ﷺ said, three people the dua is accepted. The first is the dua of the one who has been wronged. The second, the traveler. And the third, the dua of the father for the son. So the dua of the traveler, especially when he is traveling for some good reason, like for jihad or for hajj or for umrah, for seeking knowledge. But even if it's not, just the traveler, as long as the reason is halal, his dua is accepted. Even if he's traveling for money, he wants to another job. Allah's mercy, the traveler, he is cut off from family and friends. He has a difficult situation while he's traveling, cut off from his place of residence. So in Allah's mercy, he allows the traveler's du'as to be accepted. Yet another du'a, case whose du'a is accepted, is the parent against the son, or the daughter. And we mentioned this before, the Prophet ﷺ said three are the du'as that are accepted. The last one was the du'a of the father for or against his son. And obviously the mother for or against the son, and the mother for or against the daughter, all of this applies as well. The same concept is there. For or against, realize this. For meaning you want something good to happen. Against meaning you want something bad to happen. Both types of dua will be responded to. This is of Allah's mercy, of Allah's justness. The way that the children treat the parents, so too when the parents make dua, Allah will respond to that dua. So if the children are good to the parents, therefore the parents will make dua for them and Allah will respond to that dua. And if the children are bad towards the parents, then the parents will make dua against them, and therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will respond to that dua as well. Therefore, children, be careful in your relationship to your parents. They are your Jannah and your Naar, literally. They are your paradise and your hell. The way you treat them will judge who you are on the Akhirah. Parents, also be careful. If you ever get angry at your children, don't make dua against them, like we said. Do whatever you want, but do not make dua against them. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala might accept that dua, and you yourself will regret that dua has been responded to. Like the Prophet said, do not make dua against your family and children. Because Allah has given the parents authority over the children, therefore their dua will also be accepted for the children. Another situation is the exact opposite. The children for the parents, especially after their deaths. Especially after their deaths, the Prophet ﷺ said that once a person dies, his good deeds are cut off except for three. One of them is a son who prays for his parents. And obviously the daughter who prays for the parents as well. Basically, once your parents die, then their rights upon you have not finished. They still have rights over you, that you make dua for them daily, constantly. رَبِّ اغْفِرْ لِي وَلِوَالِدَيَّ رَبَّنَ اغْفِرْ لَنَا وَلِوَالِدَيْنَا. You always make dua for your parents as well. Forgive our children. رَبِّ ارْحَمْهُمَا كَمَا رَبَّيَانِي صَغِيرًا. So many duas Allah commands you in the Quran to pray for your parents. So once the parents die, this does not mean that our obligation towards them has stopped. Yet another situation, poor person whose dua is accepted, is the one who is fasting. Like the Prophet said, three du'as are never rejected. Of them is the one who is fasting. In one narration he said, the one who is about to break his fast has a du'a that will not be rejected. So right when you sit down for iftar, if you can concentrate now, this is a sign of ikhlas. If you can concentrate after being hungry for so many hours, and you have all these beautiful foods in front of you, this is a good sign of ikhlas. But in any case, this is the time when your du'a will be accepted inshallah by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.